Good morning. Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to both and to those in person and online. Wherever you're coming from, whatever you're bringing with you this week, we pray you will experience the restoring presence of Jesus here today. I have a few announcements. Next week, November 9th, there will be a short congregational meeting to elect a new class of elders and deacons. Also following worship next week will be our second Sunday luncheon provided by the choir, and we hope you will join us. Mark your calendars, please, for November 30th. It's going to come quickly after Thanksgiving for the community Christmas tree lighting. Invite friends, family, and neighbors for a time of festive music, singing, hot chocolate, and donuts. All right, join us following worship today as we pack boxes for Operation Christmas Child Packing Day, and there will be a reward of sandwiches and homemade treats for those who offer a helping hand. And finally today, the important celebrating of Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's table, and it is Christ who offers the invitation. All those who have been baptized in the name of the triune God are welcome to eat of this meal, and it is the practice of this congregation that we will take the elements all at once together after they are distributed. Now, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you. Thank you, Marcus. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And forget not all God's benefits.
Same God who has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with all our whole hearts and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, Forgive that we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christians, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
I would invite any children down for our children's message. Welcome, welcome. Hello, good morning. Today we're going to hear a story from the book of Exodus called Food from Heaven. Within 3 days, so that's 3 days after the Israelites left Egypt, their joy had vanished in the savage heat of the desert sun. Excuse me. We're dying of thirst, they said. We've escaped the Egyptians, only to collapse and die in the sand. Moses shook his head sadly. The Israelites had very short memories.
They can't buy a water hole, but the water tasted terrible. The water is bitter in this place, Moses said to God. No one can drink it, and they are blaming me. God showed Moses a special piece of wood, which he threw into the water to make it sweet. Thousands of people clustered around, and soon everyone had enough fresh water to drink. But within weeks, they were shouting and grumbling and accusing Moses again. There is no food here. The Lord should have killed us all in Egypt. Why did he bring us out here just so that we could starve to death? Still, Moses kept his patience and walked silently into the distance. The people watched his lonely figure as he walked away from them. They knew that he was going to talk to God. After a long time, Moses returned and gave them this message. I have heard all your grumbling, says the Lord. Tonight you will eat meat, and tomorrow I will rain down bread from heaven. Bread from heaven, what could that mean? But even as they were arguing and discussing this in the camp, a huge flock of quail landed in front of them. Every single family had meat to eat that night. Then in the morning, they awoke to find the ground covered with a strange white substance like frost. They crept out of their tents and touched it with their fingers and tasted it. It tasted like wafers with honey. What is this? Said everyone. Manna, which is Hebrew for what is it? I'm glad you got that. The Lord has sent us manna. Manna, can you believe that? Manna, manna, they shouted. And they laughed and they ran and they began to gather all the delicious white frost in the baskets. Moses told them to gather enough for each day. Some of the Israelites were greedy and tried to hoard some of the manna, but it soon went bad. No, said Moses, just enough for each day, and then twice as much on the sixth day, so you can keep some for the special day of rest, the Sabbath. So God sent manna to the Israelites every day for 40 years, as long as they were in the desert. That's the end of our story. So even God can feed us. Even God can feed us, even when we're squirmy, and even like the Israelites, we don't quite know where we are, what we're doing. But then we come around this table, this communion, and we eat a little bit of bread, and we drink a little bit of juice, and we remember how much God loves us, just like he fed them in the wilderness when they didn't know what was going on or what was going to happen to them. They still received enough from God. And so we remember that as we read the story and as we eat at this table. Okay, let's pray. We see everyone's prayer hands. This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God, thank you for showing us that even in the wilderness, you provide for us. Help us to remember to give of our abundance. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seat.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and taught your will. Then may we praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning in the 13th verse. We are at the end of the Gospel of Luke in this reading. So Jesus has been crucified and buried. And now the disciples are hearing some strange reports from the women that they went to the tomb and found it empty. But we sort of take a look away from Jerusalem to these two disciples on their way to a different town altogether on the road to Emmaus. Listen now to God's word. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In 1996, the city of Choluteca, Honduras, planned to build a new bridge over the Choluteca River, connecting a recently completed bypass road. You didn't know you were going to get some construction lessons here. This was an area of Honduras particularly susceptible to hurricanes and other bad weather. So the city called out for proposals for a design which could best withstand the extreme weather conditions. They landed on a Japanese construction firm and set out to build. Now, the same year that the bridge was completed, 1998, Honduras was hit by a Category 5 hurricane named Mitch. With over 170 mile per hour winds, it caused massive damage across the country. Yet, the new Choluteca Bridge remained standing. The design was a success. The only problem was Now the river no longer flowed under the bridge. You may have heard this story before. During the hurricane landfall, the approximately 300-foot span of river had carved for itself a new channel around the bridge. It was worthless and quickly became known in the area as the Bridge to Nowhere. Now, the design was flawless, but the circumstances had changed. For all their planning, they couldn't have anticipated what would take place. So much like the city of Choluteca, we make plans for our lives. We make plans for the future, what we think the best goals for life will look like, what we think a successful life and family will look like together, or maybe just for ourselves. As if we were playing the game of life, you know, the one with the little vans. We plot our path around the board. We determine the course of our occupations, our relationship, health, and even spirituality, and we all try to control it enough to get it into line so that we can live our best life now. We think to ourselves, if I can just stick to the plan, everything will work out just the way I want it. But as you already know, for all of our planning, life just has a way of throwing us some curveballs. Circumstances change. Businesses fail. Relationships break up. Opportunities fall through. Endeavors don't go to the expected end. These twists and turns in life can lead us feeling disoriented and at a bit of a dead end. What we had planned, what we thought the exact steps of our life would look like, stop. Our high hopes for life lay deflated, and our dreams disappointed. We join in the collective thought of all of those with deflated hopes and disappointed dreams saying, we had hoped. We had hoped. We had hoped that this bridge would get people from here to there. We had hoped that this business venture would make me successful. We had hoped this relationship would lead to lifelong love. We had hoped that this move or this degree or this opportunity would result in the perfect life. Or maybe when we think about church, we had hoped that this new program or this new focus or these new people would make the church grow. Now, these aren't unreasonable thoughts. They are common to the human experience. We are by nature planners. And we see that we even share this sentiment with the disciples as they were making their way to Emmaus. Now, in our reading, we enter in as they are leaving Jerusalem. Only days before, they had witnessed the disappointment of all their hopes and dreams. The man to whom they had devoted themselves, the one who was a mighty prophet in deed and word, had been put to death on a cross. Jesus represented to them the fulfillment of their hopes, the redemption of Israel, the victory of God over the powers of the world. But now he was dead and buried, and with him all their dreams. They had witnessed Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but now they were crushed under the reality of the crucifixion. This was the dead end to their journey. They had all but given up. Even the news that some of the women had found the tomb empty could not rouse their spirits. We had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel. Now, as readers, we've already been let in to the irony of the disciples' words. As the person whom they are traveling with, the one whom they are relating their woes to, is none other than the risen Jesus himself. And of course, he plays a little dumb to maybe get them out of their shells a bit. Their eyes are kept from recognizing him, maybe blinded by their own expectations. And he says to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared." Ever the teacher, Jesus seeks to illuminate the reality of all that has happened and shift their understanding of what it now means for them. So, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself from all the scriptures. Now, this is another sermon for another day, to go through all of those things which Jesus brought up. We could go a whole series just on that. But what I want us to get to is this idea of the shift that the disciples had to make in their expectations. The disciples thought that the cross meant that their journey had come to an end. They thought that their hopes were now at dead end, full stop, nothing further. Might as well leave Jerusalem. But Jesus showed them that the cross was part of the plan all along. Jesus showed them that their hopes, the journey of hope, had just begun. The disciples were not on the wrong path. They simply needed a course correction. Now, if GPS had existed in those days, I think Jesus might have used it as a teaching tool here. You set the app, and you start driving. You try to follow as best you can, but inevitably, you take a wrong turn or get on the wrong off-ramp, and it tries to get you back, right, to the right course. No matter how many wrong turns you take, no matter how lost you get, the GPS will always try to give you a course correction to get you back onto the right road. It's not that the GPS was wrong. It didn't send you in the wrong direction. You simply made a wrong turn. You see, Jesus shows the disciples and shows us now that in those times in our lives when we are faced with deflated hopes and disappointed dreams, it is not the end for us. It's not the end of our journey, but it may in fact be an opening onto a path towards greater hope and faithfulness. What we thought was a dead end may actually be the next step on the path towards God's desired future for us. We can only see what is right in front of us, but God sees the whole journey and will lead us all the way. Like the GPS, he didn't set us in the wrong direction. We simply may have made a wrong assumption, a wrong turn. We are not lost, but we need a course correction, a divine course correction. And this is the case across redemptive history. God's people have always needed their eyes open to God's perspective. When they felt all was lost, God gave them a divine course correction. And from this place of open eyes and a new perspective, their journey led to a life of greater faithfulness, holiness, and love. The disciples, with eyes opened, moved from disappointment to a renewed hope and a missional drive that took them to the ends of the earth. From the Hebrews in the wilderness to the prophets, from the other disciples to especially Peter, all of them needed to be reoriented to the path that God was setting before them. And the thing is, if he did it for them, what might God do through us What new reality might we experience if we had our eyes opened to the possibilities, to the path that God is setting ahead of us? Life may not be going according to our plan, but under his providential care, our lives can go according to God's. Now, this does not mean everything will suddenly be easy. I don't want us to have any false assumptions about that. We're still on the journey of life. But with a new perspective, with a divine course correction, we can begin to experience the grace of God through the journey. Through the journey. And we can be opened to the reality that all along the way, Jesus has been walking right beside us. Even when we didn't recognize it, he was right there by our side. And so we ask God to open our eyes that we may see from his perspective and respond with faith and hope. My friends, those places of deflated hopes and disappointed dreams are not the end. They're not the dead ends of our journey. They are instead the places where God meets us with his grace and shows us the way. So trusting in the power of Jesus to open our eyes, let us walk forward with faith and renewed hope into the reality that God is creating for us. Amen. Let's pray our prayer of discernment together. Lord, show us your will for Hebron and how you are calling me to serve. Amen. with gratitude for God's word to us, and as we prepare ourselves to come and gather around the Lord's table, let us offer up our life and labors to the Lord.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away. Strength.
Almighty God, of whose own gifts alone we can give to you, since all we have is yours, accept this offering which we present you and grant that with them we may have the grace to present ourselves a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper which we are about to celebrate is a feast of remembrance, of communion, of hope. We come to this table in remembrance that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father into the world to assume our flesh and blood and to fulfill for us all obedience to God's law, even to the bitter and shameful death of the cross. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted by God and never forsaken by him. We come to this table to have communion with that same Jesus Christ who has promised to be with us even unto the end of the age. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us to eternal life. In the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. We come to this table in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and foretaste of that feast of love which we shall partake when we enter his kingdom, when with unveiled faces we shall behold him, made like him unto his glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit who unites us all in one body, so we are to receive this supper in true love, mindful of the communion of saints. My friends, this is the Lord's table. Jesus said to them, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is the Lord's table. Christ invites all those who trust in him to share the feast he has prepared. But first, let us turn to God with thanksgiving and praise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is holy and right, our joyful duty, to give thanks to you at all time and in all places, O Lord, our Creator, almighty and everlasting God. You created the heaven with all its hosts and the earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being and preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, made flesh for us and for our salvation. We remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice which he offered once for all on the cross for the sins of the world. For the precious gift of this mighty Savior who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God. In the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together in him, we may attain the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into him, Christ our Lord. God of compassion, we remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and the dying, prisoners and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and inhumanity, and all others who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divide your creatures. Increase in us the recognition that we are all made in your image. Look upon your church, we pray, in her struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on her weaknesses. Bring an end to her divisions and scatter her fears. Look also upon the ministry of this church, which you have called Hebron. Increase our courage, strengthen our faith, and inspire our witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your eternal kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So to God our Maker, to Christ our Lord, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever and forevermore. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." In a similar way, after the supper was ended, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink. This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." And so it is that as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord crucified and risen until he comes again in glory. These are the gifts of God, and they are for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. the body of Christ broken for you. Take, eat. Blood of Christ shed for you. Take, drink. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of that heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out now in the power of your Spirit to live and work to the praise of your glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
To join us in Holman Hall for the Operation Christmas Child packing day. If you can just pack one box or many boxes, whatever you can spare time for, please come and join us. The world may throw us curveballs. They may throw off our plans. Our hopes may seem deflated and our dreams disappointed. But it is in those moments where Christ meets us with his grace, opens our eyes to the possibilities, and sets us onward on the journey of life. So in that hope, go from this place and love and serve the Lord. And as you go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.